Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life, Radio's Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics that are related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm honored and privileged to have these one-on-one conversations with some very, very talented mediums. Today is no exception, dear guests. Our medium today is Bobby Allison. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and like her mother, grandmother, and three sisters, she was born with enhanced intuitive abilities. She honed these abilities by practicing positive meditation and studying spirituality. She's been featured on radio, on television, and she's a natural teacher. In addition to her mediumistic abilities, she has the unique ability to relay messages from master guides through automatic writing. She's also a remote viewer, enabling her consciousness to be transported to locations of missing items or people. And she's also helped law enforcement with those talents. So she has shared her gifts with numerous charitable organizations as well. And her website is www.bobbyallison.com. That's three B's, so BOBBIALLISON.com. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show, it's commercial-free, so no interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, loved one, or a glass of wine, or cognac, wherever you want, and let us capture your imaginations and intellect for the remainder of the hour. And before we say hi to Bobby, I just want to make a few special Forever Family Foundation announcements. It'll be brief, I promise. So, founder Bob Ginsberg's new book is available on Amazon. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's a guide for those who have either had a reading with a medium or plan to have one or are simply curious about what happens after we die. All profits from the sale of this book are donated to the Forever Family Foundation, of course. And just also to let you folks know, there is a Netflix series called Surviving Death, which is now currently streaming. Bob and Fran and the Forever Family Foundation are actually very prominently featured in episode number 4. Also a reminder to folks that there is a Valentine's Medium raffle, and that is going to be ending on Valentine's Day. So the 14th of February. And one more little announcement, that there will be a grief retreat, and that's taking place in Connecticut from July 16th to 18th. Details will be announced within the next 2 weeks. And oh yes, dear listeners, tonight's show, it's for research and informational purposes. Your questions, as always, they're more than welcome. Have them come in, no problem. But keep in mind, Bobby's not going to be performing any readings tonight. So for the past couple of shows, we've been coming up with questions that you, our listeners, have been forwarding to the Forever Family Foundation. And they've been amazing questions. This whole new way of doing things has been very successful. So we're going to keep that format going. And as always, if you have any more questions for our esteemed guests, please feel free to call at 1-888-627-6008. And that's it. That's my spiel. Whew. Hi, Bobby. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks. Not too bad. Not too bad. How have you been surviving in this pandemic world?
Oh, just wonderful.
Oh yeah, crazy, huh? Crazy.
You just have to. Yeah, you just have to adjust your living style and lifestyle, and it's fine.
Better days ahead. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Oh yes. Without a doubt.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if you recall, but we met about 6 years ago at a. It was a night of mediums, and you were actually the reader at my table. So I was one of your guests, and I was profoundly affected by you. It was
really I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a big fan, big believer,
nice.
And just keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. It's amazing
thank
how
you so
you told me about my
that.
Son in the afterlife, and it was really very profound and very heartfelt, and I'll never forget it.
Oh, so, it's so nice to hear. I'm glad Spirit showed up for you in that way.
Yeah, me too. You know, I know sometimes it doesn't work that way, you know, but
nope.
it has been for a while, so I'm very happy and blessed with that. So, you know, we have some really, really good questions from some of our listeners, and we'll probably get some calls, but if we don't, we've got plenty of questions to keep us busy for the next hour, and some of these are really good. I read through them, and yeah, I really like all of them, actually. So I'm just going to, without delay, I'm going to read this first one from one of our members, and tell me what you think about it, okay?
Sure.
So, okay, so if this is, I'm just going to be reading it. If some loved one is suffering from dementia before they transition, could a medium make contact with them while they are still alive in this experience? Has their spirit passed before the body, hence the dementia? If this was the case, wouldn't mediumship be an incredibly important service to family members who are agonizing through this challenge? I guess the ultimate question is it possible in some cases for the spirit to pass before the body dies?
Okay, so this is a great question because
yeah.
It happens all the time with me. And I have done it for people who are in nursing homes who have no voice, and I am their voice, to tell them about their pains and their woes while they're in nursing homes and whatnot. And then also when I do readings over the phone or in person, I will have this whole conversation with someone's grandmother or a husband or wife, and they look at me puzzled and they'll say, but they're still living. And I said, oh, then they must have dementia, sundown syndrome, or Alzheimer's. And then they confirm that because they live partially in the body and mostly in between worlds. So they don't necessarily pass over to the other side, but they're just in between because they're still connected to their body, to the physical, you know, the vehicle, the vessel. So they're able to talk to me. They're able to tell, you know,
really?
Evidential information. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Well, I wonder what it's like to be in that transition phase. Are you in some kind of limbo state? Are you in some kind of place that's different? Are you in the same room that
you're playing,
your loved ones?
No, they're playing with, not playing, but they could be playing cards with their loved ones, hanging out, doing whatever, but they are with where they feel most comfortable, and that's home. So they are hanging out with, you know, the other souls that are past and so on and so forth. So that's why there's that blank stare. There really is no communication with the physical body sometimes when your loved ones are in the room, and then sometimes they pop back in. So until the body decides that it's ready and is going, or the soul decides that it's done, you know, they will be in and out. So, and I could talk to them all the time. But, you know, being nonverbal is the best tool when you have a medium that can come in and, you know, and talk to them and get, you know, all the information for the people that want to know what's going on in their world.
Wow. That's interesting. That I didn't know that myself because I never thought of it. But, hey, you know something? While you're explaining that, our phone line just lit up. So
yeah,
we're
going to
take a question from our first caller, Elizabeth from New York. So let's welcome Elizabeth to the show. Elizabeth, how are you?
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Signs of Life.
Thank you.
Are you there, Elizabeth?
I'm going to take my call. Yes, I am.
Okay, great, great. Do you have a question for Bobby?
I do.
Okay.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello, how are you?
My question is, how can I continue to heighten my gifts? I kind of know the answer, but in the past couple of years, they have grown. Like, now I do oracle cards, but now I don't really need the cards. And in the reading, I'd give a whole reading, and it's almost like they. Well, who's they? Well, your loved ones, your spirit guides. I'm not really getting names. Like sometimes I hear people say, well, the letter J. That's just not my thing. I'm not giving names. And it kind of bothers me because I'll get stuck on that one person that's like, well, who are you talking to? Who are they? And I do get like you know, the, you know, if it feels like a grandmother, whatever, you know, I can describe how they pass. But right. I guess my question is, what is it that I could do to just try to further along okay. what has grown? It has grown in the, you know, in the past couple of years. It has grown.
Okay, that's a great question because, you know, I get this oftentimes with my clients and whatnot. And what you need to do first off is the meditation raises your vibration so that you can then connect to the spirits and loved ones on the other side. So you have to make sure that you maintain a balance and you get to the place that you need to be and always protect yourself when you're giving out information. Always ask for the highest information of all concerns. And you want to make sure that you have a great rapport with your angels and your guides and your higher self, of course. It's really just like another language, and I call it the language of love. And when you tune into the actual spirit and get their name, you can ask them, what's your name? What's your question? How did you pass? And if you are meant to do that part of the work, then it shall be. Because you have to understand, not everybody that is psychic and read oracle cards is going to be a medium. But everybody that is right. a medium has to be psychic first, okay? So that is just another right. level of it. So if this is something that you choose to do, there is certainly more classes of enhancement that you can go to. There's people all over. I don't know where you live, but there's people all over. We can always, you can always email me, and I can give you the list of people that I know. And you just stay confident, I think, and just know it's not what it not it doesn't come from you. It's what comes through you. And I think that's really
correct.
The good way to stay humble, and it's a good way to kind of differentiate between your opinion and what's coming through. A lot of people try to say, oh, you know, well, don't do this and don't do that, or this is coming through or that's coming through, and it's really just like their opinion. So I just, this is what Spirit's telling me to tell you, by the way. So I think that it's really fair to say if you just focus on the cards, if you feel like you don't need the cards, then you go to the next level, and that's just reading the energy. After you just read the energy psychically, then mediumship may come in at that point once you raise your vibration. So I think that that's the way to go right now is step-by-step, tuning into your higher self and building that rapport, and then ask and open up that pathway for yourself.
I see. That's so helpful because I do think I'm right in the middle. I'm not definitely not in the beginning.
Because
I can go like a whole hour.
Yeah, of course.
I can go like a whole hour, and then I'm like, what did I just say?
Yes, Elizabeth,
and then,
listen.
But I'm not, you know, where, you know, I would like to take it higher just to help people. I have the intentions.
Let me just tell you this. Not every medium is going to give names. They just don't. It depends on how you get your information. So do not get stuck and hung up on, oh, my goodness, I didn't get a name. See, people, the sitter, will want you to get initial, a name. Some people just don't get names. They
correct.
Get the situation, how they pass, and the feeling or the sense of it's a mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, and things like that. So don't get stuck on,
yeah,
oh, my goodness, I didn't give them a name.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up.
Names are only labels.
Right. So it's the feeling.
Okay.
It's the connection. It's the love that remains. So as long as you bring through evidential information, not necessarily the name, then you're fine.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so
great.
Much for your call, Elizabeth.
Thank
Good luck.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And Bobby, if you feel like taking some more callers, we have another caller from on the line. Would that be fine?
Yep.
Okay, great. We have Susan from New Jersey. Susan, welcome to the show.
How are you? Thank you.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Susan.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. You have a question for Bobby?
I do.
Okay.
Many, many years ago, I had known someone that I had worked for who was extremely intuitive, used to study silver mind control, psychic abilities, mediumship, remote viewing, and when he'd talk about it, I had no clue what he was talking about. And I'm going back over 20 years ago and having been in contact with the person, I did find out in the last, I think he passed away about 2 years ago, and I can't get him out of my mind. It's to the point of, like, he's on my mind constantly. And when I walk into certain rooms, he's on my mind constantly, almost like he's trying to connect. Is there anything I can do to, if that's the fact? Because since the 20 years have passed, I have read a great deal of books about mediumship. I've seen certain mediums that were phenomenal, and I do understand it, and I've read a lot about it. So okay. I believe in it, and I believe that there are different dimensions, and I know there are different theories, but I am not a medium or a psychic. I don't know how to connect without someone else, and I don't know, is this just a passing thing? It's just odd because the person comes through in such a strong manner. It's very odd.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for calling in, and second of all, that's a great question because anybody can connect with the other side. You do not have to be a medium or a psychic to have contact with the other side because it's all energy, and we are energy. So he is trying to give you a message. He's letting you know that you are intuitive. You do have women's intuition. You do have all that stuff, all the ingredients to have contact with the other side. You don't need somebody like me to sit down and tell you that your friend is there and he's giving you information. But you can have the dialogue with him by sitting quietly at the table. You can light a white candle, and you can ask the question in your, you know, in your inner voice, and whatever you get back that's through your gut would be his answer. You can ask him to show you a sign. If you're there, show me this. If it's not you, show me that. So there is quite a few things that you can do. As long as you're not afraid and you feel comfortable doing it, always make sure that you put the protection around you, whatever your belief system is, and you build that foundation of trust with your guides and so on and so forth. You've read many books. Keep your ego out of it, and you will be able to get the information. I do believe, and I feel psychically, although I'm not doing readings tonight, he is certainly trying to give you information and letting you know that he's around. He's heavily around because of the fact that he talked about this with you years ago. It stayed with you, and then you have read all these books. He's just showing you the validation of your knowing. And it's wisdom, it's knowledge, and it's all that mixed together. So don't be too surprised if you're getting some visits from him in a sleep state and knowing that this is real, and then he's going to give you beautiful messages.
Interesting.
Great question.
There's really nothing to it. It's just what you allow. It's what you're not afraid of. It's what you're humble about.
Right.
So, yeah, if he knows you're scared, he won't be there.
See, I've tried to do what you're saying, where I would ask questions, but it's as if, I don't know if it's nothing happens or whatever the response is that, I don't know if it's response is the right word, but whatever I might be thinking, is that just my imagination?
No, it's not, because if you're asking a spirit energy or what have you, a specific question, and you're waiting for an answer back, and it's something that he's validating or you're validating, then of course it's him, but they infuse knowledge as well. They also know what you're doing. They know what you're going to ask. They know what they need to do to open you up fully. So go along those lines and keep questioning and getting the answers. But if you're afraid, then you got to remember the fear would stand in the way. So you have to take the fear out of it and just see it as a beautiful blessing that you're able to have that communication by yourself without a medium.
Yeah.
Isn't it true, Bobby, that if you get a thought that pops into your head that is completely unlike you, during these phases, that's a sign from spirit that, you know, it's not my thought because this is completely random that I couldn't think of. It's not, you know, not the train of thought that I was thinking, and something pops into my head. Isn't that like a strong sign?
Yeah, because they
communicating with?
Yeah, because they infuse the information into you. Like, you could be sitting there doing a mindless task, like vacuuming or doing the dishes, and all of a sudden you'll have this whole scene of that person or something you weren't thinking about, but they want you to know badly that they're there. So they will give you that information, hoping and praying that you're going to understand that it's them and that life goes on through the energy. So, and the frequency's got to be different. Like, there's all different things that go into play. You can call it what you will, but I know he's there. I see him. Keep showing me the beautiful bird. So I'll leave that question at that. And the bird is not
the beautiful
bird.
What
he sent you. Yes, it's what he sends you. You understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so there you go.
I see.
That's
wow.
That's a validation of your whole question. So do not ever doubt that you are not psychic, because I would say as long as you don't want to label yourself as psychic, you can say intuitive, you can say you have a lot of wisdom, whatever it is that you want to say, you're open and you're aware. How about that? And you're not crazy, and it is him.
Trust your instincts. Trust what you get.
Right.
Yeah. I just wondered if he's trying to tell me anything of real importance with what's going on in this world today.
Well, go ask him.
Okay, yeah. Good answer.
Okay.
Susan, thank you so much for your call. Great right. question. And good luck.
And thank you for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
All right.
You're
take
welcome.
Care.
Have a good
all right.
show.
Thank you.
Too. So, hey, Bobby, we got one more call for now. We got Kathy from Pittsburgh. Kathy, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Kathy.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
So I was looking at what they had written about you on Forever Family Foundation on the email they sent out about tonight's program. And I see that it says about being a remote viewer. I'd never heard of that before. Can you explain how that might work? Because my cat has been missing for 12 days. And how does that work? Because it says you can see things and people.
Yeah, so remote viewing is when they kind of take you out of your body and in your awareness, and they propel you to a room, a place, something that has happened already, so I can go there and I can view it. Like a lot of times they'll put me, like if somebody's awake, and they'll be in the corner of the room looking who's there, what's going on. If it's for a cold case, like a murder or something of that nature, or a missing child or people, they take you to the scene and they let you see everything that happened. So it's kind of like that.
Wow.
Like sometimes I'll be in my reading and I'm like, why am I in the middle of Hempstead Turnpike, across the street from Eisenhower Park? Like, I'll name where they're showing me that I am. And they're like, oh, I grew up on that street or something like that. So I could do remote viewing as in a reading and as it's to get information for the reading. So they take me there. Is that a vision or am I there? I feel like I'm actually standing in the middle of the street with the traffic going. So, you know, depending on where they put me, you know, or I might be at the scene of the crime and I could see, like, you know, the person going down. I could see the police. I could see it all. And, you know, it doesn't happen every reading because it's not necessary. But if I'm doing, like, a cold case, then I could certainly do that. And I've had some pretty, pretty amazing stuff with one of my producers that it was the most profound thing that ever happened. I saw the whole scene and was remote viewed. So, yes, you can find people, animals. I've found rings. I found jewelry that was $1 million heirloom for people. So it's not me, of course, you know, it's spirit. But through me, these things have come about, and I'm happy to do it, you know.
So when you do it, are you kind of like in a trance?
No.
Or
No, I don't allow anybody to take over my body, my vehicle. I tried that once and it didn't go well. So no, I do not do that, but they can take my mind to where I need to go. Like, I can become, it's going to sound crazy. It's like I don't become the dog or the cat or the person, but I see it through their eyes. So, yes, I sort of.
Right, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Wow,
I see a cat. I know I'm not doing reading tonight, but I do see a cat, like, underneath the deck. And I don't know if it's your deck or someone else's deck, but I see him hiding and scared.
Okay.
And I feel
That's interesting.
I see three. So 3 days, 3 hours, or you'll hear.
Oh, okay. Wow, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's so interesting. I had never heard anything about that remote viewing.
Remote viewing is actually, it's been around for many years. They used to use people like in the military to kind of remote view when there was attacks from countries and things like that. You could read up on it. It's pretty interesting stuff, although I don't do
There's
that
a
stuff.
Lot of information on remote viewing.
Google
it, you'll see. There's volumes and volumes. It's been around for a while. It's
yeah.
still very prominent in certain countries. They still practice it a lot.
Yeah, that's why I don't make a big deal. I don't want nobody chasing me down. No thanks.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Well,
Kathy, thank you for your excellent question.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I hope you get your cat back.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Well, those are some pretty interesting questions.
I love the questions.
Yeah, me too. And the remote viewing thing is just super amazing. There's actually a movie that came out not too long ago. Well, maybe 5 years ago, I think, and George Clooney was in it. It's called Men Who Stare at Goats. I mean, it kind of makes fun of it, but, man, was that movie hilarious.
Really?
The remote viewing. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a funny movie, very funny. And it's about the remote viewing program with the CIA and stuff like that.
That's what actually very, very funny. Me because I don't want to ever go down that road, and I don't want to be sought out for that, so I kind of make light of it. But I feel like, you know, that's somebody that's really studied it, and I just tapped into it because I never knew, like, I never asked for that. I just always, like, when I was younger, I saw this movie called Through the Eyes of Laura Mars, and I was so addicted to this movie when I was a kid, and I was like, what is this, and what is this about? And then as I got older and I started doing readings, I was like, oh, my goodness. And somebody said to me, you're a remote viewer. And I'm like, what? And then I was like, really? Like, and that's what happened. Like, somebody
really,
told me.
Really
so
cool.
Then they showed me in my head the movie that they were trying to tell me this when I was a young girl. So I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to see people almost getting, like, this girl was, like, unfortunately sexually abused by this. She kept seeing this scene over and over trying to save this girl.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to see that for people. That's crazy.
Right.
Like, no. I want to be able to find, you know, missing children or, you know, missing items. I don't want to be caught up in any type of government. No thanks. But, you know, so I just keep light on it, but it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's really fascinating stuff. You know, this reminds me, just back to Kathy's question, there was I wanted to ask her, didn't get a chance to, about if she was bothered by the fact that this person kept pestering her for, you know, always being in her thoughts. And if so, I mean, maybe there's some kind of closure that had to be, you know, like...
Well, I think, yes, you know what I think it is, if you don't mind me saying, like, sometimes I...
No, not at all.
I apologize, because the thought comes so quick and I want to get it out, but I just feel like sometimes the mere validation of her asking the question and getting, like, three little, like, signs or something in the little question that she answered and the little information I gave her, that would be enough for her to release and let go, because she's holding on to, is this real? Is this real? She's questioning him, but she knows it's him. But she just needed somebody outside to tell her that. So she is psychic.
Sorry, that was Susan, actually, from New Jersey that asked that question.
I'm sure they're still listening, so that's good. So she just takes that as, oh, my goodness, like, he has been here, and he is trying to validate for me. And I am getting this information. Could you hear how she was very defensive of herself? I'm not psychic and I'm not a medium. She made me want to see that. But she is. She's all of that because she's aware. She reads books. So she's opening up. She's accepting energy. And he's telling her as well. So that, you know, some people just live a little bit in the fear with that. And if they would let down those walls, they'll see that there's a whole new world of awareness out there.
Yeah, embrace it. If you have
absolutely.
You know, absolutely. Of course, don't be scared of it. Of course.
Right.
Although, you know, I can see how it can freak some people out if they get a very big, sudden first experience. You know, that can freak out a lot of people.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. But I think if you embrace it and get used to it, then you open up. And like you said, it opens up a whole new world.
Absolutely.
So, hey,
and then they feel better about themselves.
Yeah. So I have another question from one of our listeners. I'll read it out. It's, I'm trying self-guided meditation or self-hypnosis for two reasons. One, to attempt to personally contact spirit guides and to achieve past life regression. I'm not sure I'm completely under when I do it. I can't always see clear images. Mostly just sort of a fog, though I am trying. Do you have any suggestions for improvement?
Okay, so they're doing self-meditation and self...
self-hypnosis, yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't even know they could do that. I would say try guided. Try going on YouTube, Google it, or you can also, you know, ask to email me, and they can definitely give them a list of people that do it, you know, online. because I think that you need to experience it with somebody guiding you, so this way you know the points where to go. Like, I think that's very important. So, yes, doing it yourself, but then you don't know if you're progressing, if you're constantly doing the same thing. So you need to kind of have someone to guide you that specializes in that so they can get you to the point where you need to go. That's what my, that's what I would say. But I think it's wonderful that they're trying to do it on their own. I think that's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of CDs also that you can get and DVDs.
Yeah.
There's a couple of big names in that whole field.
Yeah, but my suggestion would be guided, because I think that helps me. I have about 7 different past life regressions, you know, my friends practicing and then you know, and so on and so forth. But I think that that's the best way, because it's not, it's almost like they're taking you by the hand and leading you, and they're leading you, but they're not giving you the information. They're just saying, it's okay, what do you see next? Look in the eyes of this person. What do you feel here? Like, it's, there's a whole technique to it. And I think, like, when you do it by yourself, how do you know when you're getting to the next level? So kind of do a little guided, maybe, and then...
At least to start off, absolutely,
yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
And if you want to venture out on your own, there's resources such as, like, William Buell, who's a big author in that whole area. He's got lots of DVDs and CDs out to also...
And
for,
maybe
you know,
I should clarify.
And all that.
Yeah, the meditation, of course, you could do by yourself, but the... Mm-hmm. Past life regression, I feel that should be guided. But there are people...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that could be dangerous, actually. That can freak people out.
Yeah, I think that... you know why? Because sometimes people always say to me, like, well, I had a past life regression, and I really feel like I just put the thoughts there. And I'm like, why would you put yourself in, you know, that era on a horse as a male with open... Like, no, you're not going to just make that up. It's where you've been. It's who you've been. So people don't always fully understand it when they're dabbling in these, you know, arenas that they shouldn't be. They have to study it. They should be guided the proper way and then take it on your own. But I think if you're doing it backwards, maybe. Try it first, then go on your own and do it, because then you'll know what you're dealing with, what you have to look for, how do you get to the next level.
Yep. I know I've tried it a few times just on my own, and I always see this old pair of construction boots. That's all I come up with. I have no idea why, or it just takes me back to this dusty old pair of construction boots.
Well, that means
that's
you
all
were
I get.
Male in another lifetime.
Maybe I was a coal miner or something in a previous life. Who knows? It's pretty funny.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, that is good that you did it on your own and you were brought back to that, but there's so much more to it. There's a whole lifetime. Who was your children? Who were the people in that lifetime? Who were you married to? Mm-hmm. When did you die? How did you die? So it's kind of like that. It's pretty cool when you do the guided one.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, that
So I got another question. This is a really good one. I know our spirit guides look after us, but can they or will they look after my family if I ask them to?
Okay, so first of all, everybody that is living has their own team, okay? So they have their angels and their guides, and they have their higher self. So they have their own team that watches after them individually. If you ask your guides to watch over them, they would then speak to the other person's guides, and they would, have a connection and make sure there's protection and so on and so forth. But what we need to do is we need to give up control, because sometimes we feel like we're going to control the outcome. Maybe if the person or people are wayward, it depends on what they're doing and, you know, what you're supposed to get out of the lesson that you're supposed to get out of the thing that they're doing. So sometimes it's about faith. It's about all different things that come into play when you are asking your guides to step in to protect someone else. So you have to see what the lesson is there. And I think, yes, the answer ultimately is yes, because you're now sending the light to, you know, to them. But do you really control that? No. I learned that the hard way. We do that with my kids. You know, I'll be like, oh, my God, just protect us. Let's do this, this, that. And it's like they have their own journey, children or not, and they're going to do what they want to do, and their guides are going to protect them because that's what they are there for. But sometimes we forget that as parents, and our loved ones, even friends, family, we want to give them extra protection. But I think in the grand scheme of it, yes. But ultimately, they control their own journey, and their guides know exactly what they're going to do, and they already have that protection around them.
Nice. Good. Yeah, I agree with I mean, I'm not a medium, but I totally agree with what you say. It just totally.
Well, I don't think you need to be a medium for that. You know, the medium is really just talking to the energy that has passed and connecting on a higher level. But this type of stuff is just really spiritual, metaphysical, you know, psychic, if you will, and things like that. So I think that when people are more aware of every subject in the metaphysical world and you start to study it, there's so much, and, you know, you can get caught up in everything, and you just sometimes things don't make sense. So you just want to ask the question, that's all.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. So another question is, this one's really good. It's kind of sad. I can definitely feel this question personally. I'll just read it. My son has recently transitioned, and it's been devastating to me. The one thing that holds me together right now is believing that I might see him again. However, the thought of him reincarnating before I get that chance terrifies me. I don't know much about reincarnation, so I'm not sure what to even know or believe considering this topic. But could you speak more about this and the implications that it may have?
Great question. Okay, so again, it's about control. It's about fear. So don't even go there. Most energies that pass in our lifetime, they're not going to reincarnate until we go back. So we go back, what they tell me is bands of 100. And when we all go back, then we pick different roles that we want to play in another lifetime if we're coming back. Because I know that for a lot of us, we're not having to come back to this plane anymore. We're done here. So it'll be
And that's,
good
you're talking about soul groups, right? Like the
Yes, soul families, 100 groups, battle group of 100. So there's soul, there's fractal, there's all different things, which we won't get into on this show. But, you know, I've been studying ascension, and there's all things that I've learned about that I have a lot more to learn, a lot more. But it's so interesting to see the soul family, the groups, the fractals, different parts of ourselves, and how they all integrate and how we have to move up in ascension. So your son, I'm going to say 99% will not incarnate again. He'll be there one day when you're ready to cross over. So you don't have to worry about that.
Do they age like we do, or when you cross over?
It depends on they tell me, they go, and if you read a lot of the books, it tells the same, between 25 and 30, they like to go that. Even if they pass at a younger age, like if they were a baby, they still go to 30 because they've been here so many lifetimes, but that's where they feel comfortable. And if it's an older person, they go back to 30 when they had, you know, and maybe that's just for reading purpose. I don't know, because it's like this. So there's a pond, and in the middle of the pond, there's a little island with a tree on it, and it's raining out, and all the raindrops come down, and they land on the leaves. And then after they drip down from the leaf into the pond, what happens? Would you ever be able to tell them apart? Let me get back that raindrop. No. They become part of the whole, the static, the omnipresence, the source. So for reading
purposes, that mean we lose our individuality?
No, you don't lose it. You're still that personality. You're still that soul that came into this vehicle and had the parents and the siblings and all that. And that's where you will reunite, when they're inviting you to come to the light, if you will. So you're not going to lose that connection. But when you go back to the other side, you're definitely going to see, because it's that memory that's imprinted, and it's that gateway. So they'll be there. But when we go back to the whole, then we all have jobs, we do our own thing. Who knows, you know, until we get there, because they don't let us remember all that, and they don't answer every little question. But I don't see that she's going to lose sight of him when she's ready to go. Absolutely not. They're telling me no.
Yeah, I've read like hundreds of books on mediumship myself and everything over the years, and what I've learned is that no matter what the person looks like, you're going to instantly recognize them anyways, because it's not about physicality. It's not about
it's the energy.
Yeah,
it's all about soul love.
And the love. Yep. Interesting. That was a great answer.
I
100% agreed with you. Not that, you know, we're here to debate or anything like that, but it's really cool to get it from your perspective. So I have another one. This one person writes that it says, I often see colors when I close my eyes, praying, meditating, trying to relax. Red is the most prominent, then navy, sometimes purple or lavender. Are my loved ones on the other side trying to contact me, like with these colors?
Okay. So I've never heard of them coming in colors, but that could be a new one for me to study. But I do know that when I meditate and I go and do my thing, I see colors as well. Most of the colors I see are like indigo, maybe a deep navy, but all those are connected to spirit in some way. So the divine flame, like that people heal with, is like an indigo. And then red is, it's also colors of the chakras. So when you're meditating, you're going so deep into your own mind, but then you kind of, sometimes when you do the meditation, that the guided one, they take you and you float out into the universe, then you're seeing the colors of the rainbow as well. But when you close their eyes, you're seeing them darker. So the energy is, and this realm is made up of all the colors of the rainbow. So that's what you're seeing, and your chakras mixed in. I've never heard, and if anybody has, maybe they can come, you know, that when they become part of this show, they can answer that. I've never heard of the other side contacting his colors, no. So
right,
I would have
right.
to say I don't know the answer to that part of it, but...
But I like your idea about, you know, the chakras being kind of involved because, yeah, there is, you know, everybody has seven chakras or whatever.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, you're doing a meditation, you're opening up your crown, and you're going to your third eye. So then you have to go through all the chakras to start the energy flowing. So I would think that's what the Spirit's telling me, is that you're seeing all the colors of the chakra, but maybe the ones that are prominent are ones that you have to kind of balance and look into. Except the spirit, the indigo is spirit. It's saying it's divine spirit. So that could be like the, you know, whatever you view as the divine family or whatever you connect to. So, you know, there's all labels, but it's really one and the same. But some people have, you know, to be guided by, you know, some people say the Blessed Mother, some people say Jesus, some people say God, Buddha, you know, whatever it may be, it doesn't really matter. It's all the same. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very interesting. Hey, we got another caller. We have a Suzanne from Canada, my old stomping grounds. I'm actually from Montreal. Maybe she's from Montreal.
Oh, hi.
Let's welcome Suzanne
Hamilton.
To the show. Suzanne.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Hamilton, Ontario.
Hamilton, Ontario. Okay, that's not near Montreal, but close enough. It's in Canada.
Yeah, but Montreal's beautiful.
Welcome
How
to the show. You got a question for Bobby?
I do. I believe that I am. Hi, everyone. I just want to say this is an awesome platform. I've never called into a show like this before, so thank you. I believe that I am somewhat of a medium, but I was just wondering if you have any advice for someone who's experiencing automatic writing or any kind of like similar to what you're doing, like, but I'm very beginner level.
That's good. We have to start somewhere, right? My advice would be the number one thing that I tell everybody when they ask me this question, and I do get it a lot, is remain humble, number one. Know that it is not you. It's what comes through you. Okay? That's very important. And never edit anything. It's really in how you say it to somebody, but not editing.
Right.
Don't be like, well, I trimmed off all, you know, like you make a, like a dinner and the people that eat meat, they trim off all the fat. Don't do that in the reading. Don't do that.
I've never actually done readings for,
well, you will.
Only for my family, my sister. So it's kind of scary.
You're saying you never did it, but you did. Don't be scared. Just know.
Yeah.
You just stand tall and you have confidence and just allow. Because when you allow your guides to teach you and to guide you to where you're supposed to be and what readings you're supposed to send through you, just always know that you're going to be open and aware of what you're giving. You can have that rapport, and I tell this to everybody, with your guides and your angels. So this way, when you're feeding you the information, you know that they have your back. They're the ones that control maybe who's coming in, who's leaving, how many, all that stuff. So don't fear it ever, because then you start to kind of edit things, and then you're going to bring in things that shouldn't be there, like lower frequencies, lower energies. You don't want that.
Right.
Just always remain positive.
Right.
And just say to your guides, I don't want to see up-and-coming death. That would be my biggest suggestion. You don't want to see that. Make sure that you build that into your daily talk with them that this is something that you will not pass through. You don't want to see it. That's for God to know, not us. Because there are some mediums that will do that, and it really scares people. And that's the number one reason why people don't get readings, because they're afraid that someone's going to tell them about either them dying or a family member. So that's going to be the number one thing that you're going to ask not to see. And then tell them you'll be happy to pass their information as long as that is not part of the equation. I would say light a white candle and really kind of say whatever prayer you need to say to keep your protection, to hold the light in a higher place, and just ask to be the vehicle, the vessel for the information. You could ask for the highest good of all concerns. There's many things that you could do that are positive so that you know you're protected and so is the person that you're reading. And you will be reading, they're telling me. You will. They keep telling me when the butterflies...
I do feel a calling in a weird way.
They're telling me when the butterfly flies free, that's when you're going to start. So whenever you see that sign,
it gave me a little bit, it gave me some goosebumps in a good way. So thank you.
So chills mean the truth.
You're going to be an awesome medium, and Canada needs mediums. So you go there.
Go for
You guys are like, it's giving me like really good tingles, guys. I don't know how to explain it.
Don't be afraid. Don't fear it. Just allow. That's all you have to do is allow, be open to the information, let it come through you, and know it's not from you. I think that's a big problem with a lot of mediums. They don't realize. They get excited like they think they did something. It's not them. It's what comes through them. They're a good listener. That's what you have to pat yourself on the back for. But when you start taking credit for the information, that's when it loses its luster. It's not what...
Amazing.
It's only what comes through us. The psychic stuff is a little different. Because you have to interpret it, you have to break it down. But when you let them plug into you and they're giving the information to whoever's sitting in front of you or on the phone with you, that is purely channeling. Okay?
Channeling, yeah. Because I saw that it says that what's the difference between a master guide and just a guide? Like,
I think the difference is you, number one, you feel it. So when I have done automatic writing, it is such a different feeling when I did it with all these, like, I call them little guides, where they're trying to graduate, and I was trying to move up, and then the master guides come in, and that's a whole different thing. It's very poetic. It's very, like, talking like I've never talked in my life. My hand is so strong when they're writing it through me. It's so different, and it's signed, like, sometimes Lord Thy God, which I don't know why, but it's kind of that close to the Lord. And that's not all the time. But that's sometimes it'll come through like that. And I think, like, what? But yes, because that's an energy as well. So it's a label, it's energy, and it's forceful, and it wants to get the information out. So, you know, there is differences in the energies. And master guides, regular guides are with us every day. But the master guides are kind of like at the council on the other side. So there's a difference.
Wow.
And you'll know by the feeling. You'll shake inside. You'll get, like, the shakes. You'll feel honored to have written for them. For them, and you'll have honor to let them touch your energy. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That was more than
a lot of
I anticipated.
A lot of information,
awesome.
But I think I feel, and I'm not a medium, but I feel you're going to be great.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Just trust the information that you get, and like Bobby said, be humble, and you know you should do fine.
I just landed here with you guys tonight, so I'm thankful for that. Like, we were brought together.
Right? So you just have to know. You just have to know it's dedication. Be dedicated to not only yourself, but to the information that comes through, and just thank them. And that's it. They're happy to have people to pass the information, because a lot of people like to take this credit for themselves, and then it messes everything up. And the sitter then can see that and don't trust the information. And we really don't want that. We don't want people making up stuff and then making people think something that's not, you know, because there's a lot of shysters, as they call them, out there. We don't need that. We want to stay pure. We want to stay pure. We want to stay humble. And we want to stay evidential. So when you get out then you could try to go to, you get certified by Forever Family. And if it works out for you, then it's great.
I will do. Yeah, really. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. And I'm just trying to get myself together to that. So trying to, you know, come into contact with the right people.
Well, you know what? If you want to email me, you need a list of people, or if you have people where you are, you know, you can.
This is
Google
the first
it.
Time I've ever
about it?
Looked into this. So, yeah.
Okay,
so
good,
thank
good,
you.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, definitely. I have my assistant gives out, I give you like a list of people, and then you kind of vibrate to wherever you vibrate to, and you use your gut to, yeah, to say, well, I feel drawn to this person or this person. There's a lot of people that teach online now. They have schools online. Mm. There's lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
The internet has opened up this whole world like crazy.
Yeah.
Totally. Right. Totally. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much,
thank
guys.
You, Al Gore.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Have a great day. Night, rather.
Happy Valentine's.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you for calling, Suzanne. Have a great day. Wow, that was great. Good question. Good answer, as always. So, you know, earlier, Bobby, you were talking about to one of our callers, I think it was with Elizabeth, I think it was with Susan, actually. You had mentioned that you were talking about the remote viewing and that you don't go into trance when you remote view.
No.
Did you have, like, a bad experience with that or something, that you tried
it once,
didn't like it?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I tried to, like allow somebody to... So me and a friend at the time were kind of talking, and I was like, you know, that sounds cool to me. Like, I want to try it. So we planned a day, and I went over her house. It was a beautiful day. Sun was shining, and we were like, okay, we're ready to do this. So I sat on the couch. We did a little meditation, and we were getting, like, you know, maybe it was like maybe 10 minutes into the meditation and just asking for the right souls to come through and this, that, and the other thing. And out of nowhere, like this dark cloud came over the whole town, started lightning and pouring rain, and it was bad. Like, I felt like something trying to sort of come into me, and it was like jolted out. And then when the lightning struck, I was like, hell no, I'm never doing this again. It was really scary.
Oh, so there was actual, like, a physical storm happening at that time.
Yeah, but I went there, and it was sunny and 80 and beautiful.
Wow,
and out of
nowhere,
the clouds rolled in. It was thundering, lightning, and we were like, what the heck just happened here? And she's like, I would take that as a sign that this is not something that you're supposed to ever do. Some people do
call themselves
trans mediums or something.
Yeah.
I would never, ever even attempt that again. That was back in the 80s. No, I would never do it.
Right. The crazy 80s. I love the 80s. Best music came from the 80s.
Well, maybe it's the early 90s. I could be wrong with that, but maybe the early 90s it was. Or late 90s. I can't remember the years. Doesn't matter. It happened.
Yeah, time flies when you get older.
I know,
it gets a little bit more. Yeah, it is. It's the way of the world. But hey, you know what, Bobby? We got about maybe a minute left until the show ends. So, I mean, It just flew by so quickly. It's amazing.
Yeah, it always does.
Yeah. I think you have some kind of influence over the time warp continuum or something like that, time space continuum.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a pleasure having you. And you know, I'm just going to plug you, plug your information a little bit one more time. So if anybody needs to reach you, it's www.bobbyallison.com. That's BOBBIALLISON.com. I'm sure there's a link in the Forever Family Foundation, and you're definitely in there with your information. So we appreciate it. And
thank you so much for having me.
Fascinating evening. You are so welcome. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Absolutely.
You did great. And thank you so much.
I'm sure we'll talk again.
All right. Have a great
night.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And until next time, science is going to prove that, you know, this stuff is real. Your loved ones are just a heartbeat away. And good night, everybody. Until next time.